Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. This reading from Isaiah, in the first part of Isaiah, is a powerful and exciting vision. Now, I know all of you have read Isaiah recently, and that you will remember that Isaiah tends throughout most of the writing to be kind of hard on the people of Israel. Like most prophets, Isaiah seeks to remind folks that they are not taking care of the widows and feeding the hungry, that they are not caring for children, that they are not doing any of the things that God has called them to do, that they have been chasing after other gods and after prophets. But in this part of Isaiah, there is an example of that punctuation that happens in the readings. Isaiah will have a tendency to sort of trash the people of Israel and then remind them that God is still present and still their God. So in this text from Isaiah, it says, in the days to come, something's going to happen. The mountain of the Lord's house will be raised up, the highest of mountains, and it will be raised above the hills. And then this wonderful line, and the peoples, the nations will stream to it. So get that vision in your head. A mountain as tall as Haleakala, with the nations streaming up the mountain to be instructed by God. Many people will come and they will say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of Jacob's God, and be taught. It's a great vision. And it's one that we kind of cleave to, this idea of going up to the mountain to find God. In fact, there's an entire industry built around the premise that you will want to go up to a mountain somewhere and spend your money to get closer to God. And for 2 weeks and $4,000, you can get closer to God. That's fine. But the thing about this text that's so important is that the people don't get to stay on the mountain. The real power of the text says they will walk in the path of the Lord. They will be coming down from the mountain, and they will pound their spears into pruning hooks and their swords into plowshares, and nation shall not lift up against nation. They come down and they are changed. Not long ago, I had the opportunity to meet Master Sergeant Charlie Linville at the 241st birthday ball of the Marine Corps. Charlie was blown up in Afghanistan. He lost a leg. Somewhere in the midst of his recovery and his treatment, he decided, well, of course, I've lost a limb, so what else would I do but become a triathlete? And so that's what he did. And he trained and he became a triathlete and was eventually selected to be part of a group of people who would go to Mount Everest. Charlie, with one leg, in tremendous pain, still continuing to work on his triathlon, decided to go ahead. So he trained for an entire year. A whole year he trained to get ready to climb Everest. And they got in country and they were ready to go up on their first ascent, and an avalanche came and wiped out the Sherpas. All the climb. A whole year of preparation. So Charlie came home. I'm sure, depressed, angry, but determined. And he began again to get ready. And he thought, well, if we couldn't climb it this year, we'll climb it next year. So he prepared for an entire year again. This one-legged man prepares for an entire year, gets in country, is ready to do his ascent, and what happens? An earthquake. Same thing. An earthquake. All climbs are canceled. Can you imagine 2 years of your life training? So, Charlie did what any of you would do. He said, well, as long as we're in country anyway, and there are people who will no longer have food or access to medicines or equipment, he and his team spent the next several weeks in the villages around the climbing village going and basically passing out all the stuff that they had brought with them from Nepal to Nepal. And he went home. Charlie describes that in the midst of all of this, his marriage began to be threatened. He felt very, just like his world was crumbling down, but he continued to focus on this one thing. And believe it or not, and this is the part that as I sat there drinking my glass of wine, I thought, there's some mental health. Decided to go a third time. So they get up the mountain. They're ready to make their ascent. And a storm starts to move in. Now at this point I would be crying. But they just waited. While they were waiting, Charlie learned that there was, he's a Marine by the way, Charlie learned that there was another person, another service member, who had decided that he would be the first one to ascend Everest, the first disabled American veteran to climb Everest. And he found out he was from the Army. Well, being a Marine, he would have none of that. And he was on the phone with his wife, and he said, we're supposed to go up tomorrow, but we're going to have to put it off a day. And I'm afraid this guy's going to get up first. And if we, and because the storm's moving in, and we could die up there. And she said, Charlie, go. And being a good husband, he went. Now, here's the thing about Everest. When you go up the mountain, provided that you get to the top, you don't get to stay there very long. At most, you have a few minutes. You can stand up there and take pictures of yourself, and then you must get thee down. You don't get to stay on the mountain. So there he stood, 3 years of work in all of its glory, having this wonderful experience, hypoxic, exhausted, in pain, and he starts back down the mountain. And as I watched the Marines around us, I could see many were inspired, as I was, at his work, that he had made it to the top. But that was not what impressed me. What impressed me was that when he got down from the mountain, he found himself changed. He described himself as now having a new understanding of who he is. He had become, as he said, a better husband, a better father, and a better friend. He had seen in his work, especially in passing out things to folks who were hungry in Nepal, that his part in the world had to be more than just himself. It was that transformation that was so impressive. It's that same kind of transportation that God, or transformation that God calls out from the people of Israel and from us. It's fine to go up to the mountain, and there we learn what God's will is for us, and we are renewed and remade and restored, and then we come down. We come down from the mountain to do the work that God has called us to do, to beat our swords into plowshares, our spears into pruning hooks. God's vision for us as we come down from this mountain where we are not welcome to stay is that every nation should not lift sword against nation, nor learn war anymore. God has called us to the mountain, not that we might stay, but that we should be renewed in our faith. That we should be called out not only in our own transformation, but to transform the world. And in that we walk in the light of the Lord. So, O house of Jacob, come down from the mountain and walk in the light of the Lord. For you too have been transformed in Christ. Amen.